I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to The Queen Pod, a podcast all about the incredible rock group Queen. My name is Simon Lupton and joining me is a man who loves Queen more than Roger likes to put his hand on a grease gun. It's Rohan Acharya.
Oh, thank God.
Poor
I got that
Roger.
Out. Have you ever had to use a grease gun, Ro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still do. Only on Tuesdays. After Sam's gone to bed.
Oh dear. Oh, God.
And I always flush afterwards.
Do you think maybe it's time I retired this way of introducing the podcast?
I feel like you're getting vengeance for the last 2 years of all of those ones where I've always made yours vaguely homoerotic. I quite like it.
It's, yeah.
I would love to get my hands on Roger's grease gun.
Absolutely.
Oh, God, I hope he doesn't listen to that. Well, he isn't. He isn't.
No,
he will.
No, this will never go out.
Exactly.
As always, we are being assisted by producer Sam. Hello, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, good.
Who's that?
I don't know. Conversation.
I don't know what to say.
What
your
you mean?
I'm not meant to speak.
No, stop it.
Thank God.
Right. Today, we are going to be hurling our bodies out.
Let me be
out.
Proud of you once and... Anyway, never mind.
Today we are going to be hurling our bodies out into the void like pathetic earthlings to continue our chat about the Flash album. But first, we need to know if Queen are the champions.
We are the champions. We are the champions.
This is the part where we get to share a moment where Queen, either intentionally or unexpectedly, have crept into our lives. I'm going to ask Rohan if that has happened to you this week.
Yeah, it has actually.
Have you?
Yeah, because I was like, I was looking at the whole Flash thing.
Mm.
And one of the things that I do, or get to do, which is one of the reasons I love this pod so much, getting to do it, is going through all of the Flash songs and kind of going, well, these would be cool bits to play, which is amazing. It's like having a little Queen radio station. Mm. And so I started doing that last night, actually.
Nothing like preparation.
Absolutely. So, you know, it took me a couple of hours. And I suddenly realised that the entire album had been ruined by Queen Hurdle. Because I just like, it comes up in Queen Hurdle so much. And every time it does, you just go, oh no, not a Flash one.
Yeah.
Really, and so, like, and obviously when you, as you're going through them, you just start every song from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I was feeling a peculiar, is rage too strong a word? Like, I always enjoy listening to Flash. What is this? Why am I feeling like that? And I realised, yeah, no, Queen Hurdle's ruined the whole album for me.
Oh.
So that is my Queen moment for this episode. It's still on point.
Yeah. No, that's good. And so is Hurdle now out of your life?
God, no.
Okay, fair enough.
Invisible Man came up the other day.
Ah, I bet you got that in 1 second.
Straight away, because first second is Roger going, I'm the Invisible Man. Like, so good.
Of course. Brilliant. Okay, well, look, let us not delay any further.
No, please don't.
And let's get back into Flash.
Yeah!
So without further ado, let us get back into our chat about the Flash Gordon album. Last time we covered side one, or the first eight tracks for you millennials that are listening, and so we're about to get stuck into side two, also known as the rest of the tracks. Very happy to say that joining us once again is the fabulous comedian Michael Legg. Hello again, Michael. We obviously didn't put you off then, and you've come back for more.
Thank you very much for having me again.
It's very nice to see you. So, just a quick recap then, for those of you who aren't that familiar with the film. So far, Flash has had a bit of a busy day. To avoid a climate catastrophe on Earth, he managed to hitch a ride on a homemade spaceship. But in a classic case of out of the frying pan, into the fire, he's been captured by a merciless emperor called Ming, who then tried to seduce his girlfriend Dale. Although, to be fair, they had only just met, so we use that term loosely. He then tried to stage an genius escape by staging an impromptu American football match, which did momentarily confuse his alien captors, however was ultimately unsuccessful, and Flash was recaptured and executed, only to be revived and smuggled away by the Enterer's daughter in a stunning plot twist. So surely Flash's day can only get better.
Oh, that was very good.
Thank you.
That was very good.
You don't need to see the film now.
That was an excellent précis, Simon.
So as we start side two, we find Flash now on another planet, Arborea, the planet of the Tree Men.
I think it was a moon. A moon.
Was it a moon, was it? Sorry, I stand corrected. Been a long time since I saw the movie.
Planets okay. around.
Although
these are moons.
The track is called Arborea, Planet of the Tree Men.
Okay, I might be wrong about that.
Yeah. John Deacon. Right, should we start that again?
No, I am right.
They call it a moon in the film.
Right.
You would have thought with an astrophysicist in the band they'd have got this right.
Well, I reckon they did and the film got it wrong.
Right.
You know, Queen will always get it right.
That's true.
So, to recap, we find Flash on another planet stroke moon, Arborea, planet stroke moon of the Tree Men, for which John Deacon has written a theme called Arborea, planet stroke moon of the Tree Men. Should we just wade straight in and listen to a bit of Deaky magic, and then we can get stuck in again?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is just Deaky weirdness, isn't it? those are the two. So he did that and The Execution of Flash, which is a very gentle sort of, I find very euthanasic type of guitar play. And
sure.
I do wonder what those two tracks. Like, the band at some point would have gone, right, what have you got? We've seen the film. It's so good. I've got this and I've got that. John, what have you got? Do, do, do. What do you think, guys? Guys?
Do, do, do. We've got a single!
How did that go down? How did that happen?
Well, it ties into what you were saying last time, is that that's perhaps more soundtracky.
You're right.
And film music-y, because it's doing the very bare minimum to create the ambiance.
Yes.
Without detracting from what you're supposed to be watching.
Yes.
Whereas you can very heavily rely on the other members of the band to give you heavy rock stuff that actually makes the film so much better.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It is ambiancy.
But when you take it out of context, it is basically just a man choosing three keys to press on a keyboard, isn't it? Several times over. But
yeah,
less
but then
is
again,
more.
For the early 80s, that was everything Depeche Mode had. You know, it was their entire career was ding, 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 ding. And that is three keys. So,
yeah.
You know what? In many ways, once again, Queen are about 6 months ahead of everyone else.
Yeah. You're right. 6 months ahead of Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
Also, what amuses me about this one is on the US version of the album, it's Arborea, brackets, Planet of the Tree Man. Well, there's just one man. He's a tree.
Just
and he
one
looks
guy.
Oh, yeah.
He went on to be James Bond, so, you know, he probably deserves his own planet.
What are you talking about?
The Tree Man.
Timothy
Prince
Dalton.
Baron.
Timothy Dalton.
Oh, yeah,
man.
Timothy Dalton.
Timothy
he
Dalton.
He is the Tree Man.
Yeah.
What I love about Timothy Dalton in that film is he's the only one allowed to say rude words. And so he's constantly saying like, all of his lines are just like really, really. Yeah.
Do you know, I don't think I've ever picked up on that.
Oh, it's so good. He's, oh, you bloody, you lying. He loves it.
Yeah.
No one else uses bad word, except there's rude stuff in that film, man.
Yeah. What about right at the end when Flash calls Ming an arsehole?
Oh, yeah, I've forgotten about that. I think he just called him a ring.
There we go.
There we go.
Ta-da!
Well, you'd be pleased to know that Flash managed to escape from the swamp that is on the moon stroke planet of Arborea, and Roger Taylor wrote him a theme to do it with. So
is that essentially more of the sort of drum sound from the space capsule?
Yeah, which we liked. So I thought, can we not listen to it again?
Oh, hell yeah, we can.
Yeah, we can do it again.
Timpani time. Good bit of Richard O'Brien chucked in. He's a tree man. He's the Richard O'Brien was the bull tree man who gets chucked in.
I'd forgotten that. Creator of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So we've got Peter Duncan, Richard O'Brien, Timothy Dalton. That's the planet you want to live on, isn't it? Out of all of the places.
The cast is amazing. I mean, Topol, Brian Blessed.
Yeah.
Also, the thing that blows me away was this is the first time that yesterday was probably the first time I watched Clitus. I thought Clitus was scarier than Darth Vader when I was a kid, because all his googly eyes and tongue squish out when he dies, and
yeah,
and he is he's mean. He's a mean man, I'm not that familiar with Peter Wingard. I know that he was a massive moustache type actor in the 70s and 80s, but underneath the mask, there's some kind of leather covering his eyes and stuff. Wingard gives a hell of a performance. I would say his greatest performance is Clitus.
Is that because you can't recall him seeing him anything else? Or
I don't think I've seen anything else.
No, okay. Well, that's fair enough then.
He delivers the creepiest line in any movie, probably. That, like, she rivals even your daughter.
Yeah.
how did Ming not go? What did you mean by that? What did you mean by that?
Ah, oh, but Ming knows. Ming knows Clitus is obsessed with his daughter. His daughter tells him that.
Yeah.
And not only that, Ming manipulates Clitus by saying, yeah, you can have my daughter if you want. He's merciless, don't forget.
He is. There's a clue in his name.
This is... There? Michael, you said something on the last episode that has had me worrying for a week. You said that Flash Gordon isn't actually a hero. He's someone who's helped a lot by everyone else around him.
Yeah, I think so.
And
don't forget, he is murdered like two-thirds of a third of the way through the film. He's killed. And if it wasn't for someone helping him,
yeah,
he'd be dead.
Yeah. So what I've been thinking about is, yes, you're right. Indeed, in action, he's always collaborating with someone else. But that is his heroism. The central theme is that Ming the Merciless rules by divide and conquer. He is right wing. Mm-hmm. And Flash says, no, we've got to work together. Let's get over our differences and work together.
That is true.
He's left wing. So thematically, that is all there, right? That there is a very extreme regime, and Flash's heroism is all about pulling together these disparate strands, races of people.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Timothy Dalton refers to them as breeds. From now on, the breeds of Mongo shall live together in peace, which is a really relevant point to be making today, let alone in 1980. I don't know if things were that bad. Maybe they were. No, there was a Cold War and everything. But also, there are themes that very much relate to what Queen always has to say. When they talk about these things, right? They do, you know, the song "The Miracle" is all about getting over our differences and working together. Or, you know, obviously, is this the world we created? Innuendo has themes of that in it as well. So I wondered if they resonated to that basic story theme, which I suppose is quite central to sci-fi in general, actually, isn't it? Mm. Maybe that's why they're sci-fi fans. So we're reaching the bit of Freddy that I love, which is Voltan's theme.
Yes.
And interestingly, Flash to the Rescue ends with a really slow version of that theme, but that's technically written, I think, by Brian. And then yeah. Voltan's theme kicks off, and it's an amazing keyboard melody. Are we indulgent enough to listen to both of those bits?
I think we can. If you can be indulgent anywhere, it must be here. So let's
surely be it. Proper goosebump melodies, isn't it? Can I just say, Brian Blessed and Topol are the USPs of this movie for me. Like, all of Topol's acting, every line he delivers is as if he's in a trailer for the movie. Literally every line. Like, when it, you know, all he's saying is, oh yeah, it's an attack. It's an attack! He does a big, does a big point with it. You know, yeah. Absolutely unnecessary. He's awesome. I haven't changed. Brilliant. And then Brian Blessed, the only human being who's ever lived, there's two of them who've ever lived who've talked like that. One is Brian Blessed, the other is Henry VIII. There have been no others in the history of humankind.
I've got a fun thing to bring up. What is the most famous line from this film?
Gordon's alive.
Right. Will you now, just indulge me, deliver it the way Brian Blessed delivers it in the film?
Gordon's alive?
You did it! You nailed it! I'm not kidding you. You ask anyone else that question and they go, Gordon's alive! Nope. It's actually the most understated performance of Brian Blessed's career.
It's an amazing delivery yeah. of that line. He's genuinely surprised to find out that he wasn't executed.
That's either the end of a long working day or very near lunch, because that guy just delivers it like, Gordon's alive? Just, that's all I have in me. Yeah.
Oh, you're making the case that it's understated.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right.
It's understated for him.
I haven't seen the movie things. For quite a while, and in my head, I had him going, Gordon's alive! That's right. Where I was.
Right. There is effects or something. The way it's used on the soundtrack album, I think, does amplify it and make it.
Oh, is there like
I don't know if they actually change anything. It might just be the context, but it definitely. Because, like you were saying last week, I think of the soundtrack before the film.
Yeah.
And it is much subtler in the film. You're right. Yeah. I'm actually going to play the clips now for our listeners. So here is the film version.
Ming's not unbeatable. With all his men, he couldn't even kill Flash.
Gordon's alive!
And here is the soundtrack version from the Flash single.
Gordon's alive!
Brilliant.
Well, in this area where we are talking, it's all Voltan all of the time. Does anyone dive better than Voltan? Also, can I just say that for the longest time, I thought he was shouting, die. And that they were so willing to fight that they were like, right, this is war. The way we do war is by dying. Never putting the whole feathers and wings together with the nature of moving downwards in air.
Yeah. By playing those two tracks together, I think you highlighted a really interesting point, actually, that even though each of these tracks is written by a separate member of the band, you know, they've shared out the writing between them, and they did that on all of their Queen albums until we got to the Miracle when it became Queen. But and that's fine, because you go from song to song on a normal Queen album and they're different, and that's fine. Something about this, these really do fit
allied together,
don't they? There yeah. feels like there's been a lot of collaboration here, like you say, little refrains appearing in each other's songs,
yes,
or moments.
Yes.
To sort of make it feel as a cohesive one piece. And I think that makes this album quite unique amongst other Queen albums for that very reason.
Or even traditional, because if you think about albums like Sheer Heart Attack, they do it a lot. They do it a lot on A Night at the Opera, certainly, where and even Queen 2, where songs do go from one into the next,
yeah,
right? They merge across, you know, so you get Lily of the Valley, I think, coming in off Flick of the Wrist, things like that.
Hmm.
Is something, but it's something they hadn't done for a while, right? They'd just been doing separate tracks quite a lot. And there's been maybe a little bit of it on Jazz, but it was, yeah, I think it was actually, it served them really well. And I wonder if that's potentially to some degree a product of Brian kind of taking the lead in the studio of working it all in and building it and kind of delivering it and doing what it was the movie producers needed them to do.
It could be.
But God, what a melody.
Terrific.
Absolutely. But actually, that we should probably just finish that little trilogy, which is, you know, Flash to the Rescue, Voltan's theme, and then the battle theme. They all sit together.
Well, now, this is when Brian... You know, on every album, Brian will make sure that at least once he goes for it.
Well, we better hear it then, hadn't we?
Yeah!
I'm going in after it! Impetuous boy!
There's an element of the musical about this where they revisit all the little themes from the rest of the film all in into the one place here while absolutely smashing it out of his guitar.
And all of these in this trilogy of songs is that they're great examples though of using the movie soundtrack as part of, you know, the using the dialogue and the sound effects from the movie as music, because without any of that, I would have to give up my argument that this is a great album. But
right,
it's just so important, and it's phenomenally visual in your head. You could never see Flash Gordon, and you would still have this incredible image in your head.
Yeah,
these are brilliant songs. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do you know what? That is a really good point, that part of the instrumentation is what they've included from the film.
Yeah.
That they've included laser fire, that they've included dialogue as well, and that they've placed them in particular places. Like, it doesn't match where it happens in the film necessarily.
Oh,
it's where it works right for the song.
Yeah.
How do you even conceive of that? How do you think, right, we're going to use excerpts from the film as instrumentation for our songs on this album? That's next level thinking. Has anyone really ever done it that well since? I mean, obviously, they, according to Michael, they didn't do it very well at all on A Kind of Magic, but that's Michael.
A Kind of Magic isn't a soundtrack album. We know that.
Touché.
Not wishing to give Wagner any more airtime than he already has had over his long illustrious career, but there's something about the Wedding March, which, just given that Brian famously recorded the national anthem on his guitars, and definitely one of the highlights of the Bohemian Rhapsody movie was the very beginning when the 20th Century Fox sting was played on the guitars. We have to listen to a bit of The Wedding March.
Yes. And the best bit is when it goes into a minor key, because it's a very sad wedding.
Yes. Exactly. Just, yeah, they should have known, shouldn't they? It was doomed.
And Ming is merciless. So even like Wagner is not Wagner. He's not right wing enough for Ming the Merciless.
It's got to take it to a minor key.
Yeah.
I wonder if any of our listeners have actually walked down the aisle to that. Someone surely must have done it somewhere.
Oh, it's got to have happened.
Surely.
Absolutely.
But surely yeah. They'd have just looped the happy bit. You can't actually get married to the wedding march in a minor key. Oh, I suppose if you're a goth, you'd be all into that.
People don't hear it that way, though. You know, you hear that all the time, don't you? Like I went to a wedding and there was a harpist playing the theme tune from the film Love Story. And as I walked into the chapel, I opened my big mouth and went, "That's Love Story. Doesn't she die in that?" And everyone told me to be quiet and sit down. I don't... even though I'm right.
You are right.
But the thing is, people don't think. People don't think, they won't care about the sad bit.
No, you're right. And also, it's in sickness and in health. It isn't just in health and in health. You've got to have the ups and the downs. You're committing
it's
to
true.
All of the major keys and the minor keys of life.
Yeah,
that's actually beautifully put.
Thank you.
If you have walked down the aisle to the wedding march from Flash Gordon, email us,
queenpodcast.com.
we want to hear about that.
If you have videos, send them, please.
Yes.
I really want to see it.
All power to you.
Like, if you did do it, I think as you're walking down, the bride and the bride will just have to hang her head on in the minor bit. Also, I just find the wedding vows really funny. They're just really funny.
They are great. Yeah.
Oh, they're really good.
Do you promise not to eject her into space?
Yeah.
Until such time as you tire of her.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you get them? You get them on Brian and Roger's marriage of Dale and Ming, right? That's the...
Yeah, there's the marriage of Dale and Ming. That's where... With Flash approaching.
Do you, Ming the Merciless, ruler of the universe, take this earthling, Dale Arden, to be your empress of the hour?
Of the hour, yes.
Do you promise to use her as you will?
Certainly.
Not to blast her into space? Until such time as you grow weary, huh?
I do.
I do not!
The thing is, someone will have done that as well, won't they? They will have had those wedding vows. In
yes.
There.
As their vows.
Someone's done it. Someone's walked up the aisle to that version of the wedding march, and they've done it.
Of course they have, of course they have.
Whoever's doing the ceremony... Dresses, clothes, court, everything's happened.
Yeah, they've
please.
Done it.
And we weren't invited. We weren't invited to that wedding.
That would be such a great wedding.
If anyone ever desires to marry me, then I will do it and I will invite you to that wedding.
Fabulous. Let's see if we can make that happen. So we get the marriage of Dale and Ming, and then there's the crash dive on Mingo City, which is another Brian guitar extravaganza, which is fantastic. Reprise of Flash's theme. And then we finish with the hero, which I think is a great way to end. Now, we've established that Flash is a hero, but we have varying degrees of marks out of five as to how good he actually is as a hero. But he has a song called The Hero, so I guess we should listen to it.
Yeah.
I mean, what a way to go into end titles.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. And also, you remember the argument that I said, you know, people come up, oh, I don't really like that album because there's no Freddie on it. I reckon Freddie is at least keeping somewhat in the shadows on purpose. It's just so when this track comes along, did you miss me?
Yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Because he is giving it all.
He's full badass on this. He is full badass.
Yeah.
The lyrics are brilliant in that bit that you just played. Like, I just had them up on Spotify as I was playing that. So you feel like it's the end of a story, find it all pretty satisfactory. When I told you, my friend, this might seem like the end. The continuation is yours for the making. It's
brilliant.
Awesome.
Brilliant.
It's yours for the making. Yeah. So as you leave the cinema, it is now for you to start your own Flash adventure. But that gave birth, of course, to the entire streaker industry.
Did it?
I have attempted a joke and failed.
No, I liked it. It's good. It's good.
So, Queen did start a few of their concerts with a taped version of the Flash's theme to sort of kick us off, and then the band would burst on stage and perform the hero. And I just recall actually that Queen and Adam Lambert did on a tour as well. So they did.
Oh, did they?
They did, yeah, start with did the Flash tape.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah.
That actually might be the best thing I've heard in a really long time.
What, that Adam Lambert has sung something off your favourite Queen album?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I went to see Queen and Adam Lambert last year. If I went to see them now and they did The Hero, I would lose my shit.
They've done some mad stuff. Like, they will do weird things. Like, they did Get Down, Make Love. I distinctly remember them doing Dragon Attack.
Really?
They've done the Woe La La version of In the Lap of the Gods. Life goes on and on and on.
They did Machines.
They did really? Do Machines.
God.
That's crazy. But they didn't do that on a UK tour. That was out in Japan or somewhere, wasn't
it? Yeah, I can't remember where.
Or Australia, maybe.
Yeah, I think
amazing.
It was Far East, yeah.
That's amazing.
Brilliant. Amazing. Yeah, no, they will do tricksy things.
I'm gobsmacked.
Do you know, if you really want a bit of that, and it isn't as expensive, do definitely go and see the Queen Extravaganza, because they do crazy deep cuts.
Oh, great.
They did Lasing on a Sunday Afternoon, like, fully on stage.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah, really, really good. They do some mad stuff, so, yeah, that's always worth a check. We often on this show, Michael, there are two big Queen gigs that were filmed. One filmed very well, which was Queen in Montreal in 1981, where there were just the four of them,
yeah,
and it's one of the greatest demonstrations of what a music band can do. And the other is a not very well filmed version of an epic gig at Milton Keynes called Queen on Fire at the Milton Keynes Bowl. And that's the one where famously you'll have seen the footage of Freddie ending Somebody to Love, I think, by whacking the keys with his bottom. You know, just literally up and down on his piano like that. And they opened that gig with The Hero.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that always kind of surprises me is when they reach what's ostensibly the chorus, if you want to call it the name of the song, when he goes, The Hero, they don't quite know how to finish the song. Like, they reach that bit live, and then he just kind of goes, The Hero, and they have to stop and kick off into another song. So it's never...
That's the end of that song.
As much as I love it. Yeah, it does. It is a bit weird. Let me tell you, my friends, this would be like the end, but the continuation.
It is great that there is a track off this album that you can legitimately put on a playlist. You can legitimately put on your, like, if you're making a rock compilation of Queen songs or whatever, you can put it on there. And that they could play that live. Like, I don't know if they've ever played Flash live, but they could definitely play The Hero live. And that's awesome. It's worth getting the album just for that song, in a way. Because obviously you're getting it because you like the main song.
Absolutely. And it really does feel that way. I mean, as much as I love this album, and I really do love it, but it really does feel like, this is what you came for.
Mm.
This is, and we're delivering the goods.
What is the nature of this album that makes you love it so much?
Because here's the thing: I think they're a great band, and it's really brilliant to see them being this interesting.
Right. Okay.
You know, at this time, even you could even look at Bowie and you go, "Do you know what? It's interesting and experimental. It's brilliant." At the time. He didn't sort of restrict himself to a movie soundtrack, which would have been restricting artistically anyway, but also it's restricting because you have to bend for a record company and a studio, a movie studio. So to be able to be that experimental with all of those restrictions and to come out so brilliantly is phenomenally impressive. And on top of that, it's also artistically incredible.
Oh my God, what an
That's
answer.
Why I like it.
It's very difficult to argue with that.
There is no argument with
does
that.
Does it surprise you then that they'd only... You probably know this, Michael, but what strikes me is they'd only seen 20 minutes of the film before writing all the music for it. And they did the whole album in 3 months. Like, they finished it in 3 months, 12 weeks. That is a bit of an achievement. And you're also talking about them trying to have to fit in with sort of Howard Blake's music. And the director loved them. Is it Mike Hodges? Was that the director? Mm-hmm. He loved them. But the producer, Dino De Laurentiis, was not enamoured. You know, so they had all of that to wrangle with.
And they were recording the game at the same time.
Yeah.
So it is a huge achievement. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That's crazy when they're doing it that. It's crazy. And we said this elsewhere, but it's also worth noting that... Brian May did a solo album called Back to the Light 12 years later and used some of what he recorded for the Flash sessions to open that album with a track called The Dark. So I thought I'd mention that here.
I did not know that.
Synergy there.
Nice
synergy.
Well, ending with tradition, we have to add a song, don't we, to our Queen de la Queen.
Made in heaven, made in heaven.
We do, the Queen de la Queen. So this is how it works on side B, Michael, which is we now pick our favourite song on side B, and whichever wins, wins. So obviously... Side A, Football Fight, is already in the Queen de la Queen. Now we're going to pick a track from this side of the album to put in the Queen de la Queen. Could be a lot more controversial, we don't know. And then, just for fun, we pick our favourite track from the whole album.
Oh, right, okay.
But that's just for fun. That's just a friendly match. But this is proper. This is canon.
But this is all... business.
This is serious. This is forever.
This is forever.
Yeah.
It does affect a playlist, so it is pretty mega. Do you know what? I'm going to start with Simon. What is your favourite track from this side of the album, please?
This is a hard one, because there's lots of great stuff on here.
Mm.
From a playlist point of view...
Arborea?
I think The Hero would be a very, very good inclusion.
Yeah.
But as this is a soundtrack album, yeah, I'd like there to be something that is a bit more of a soundtracky piece rather than a song.
Okay.
So I'm going to go for the battle theme.
The battle theme, which is essentially the hero, but without Freddy on it.
Yeah.
So why do you hate Freddy so much?
Because Freddy is too good.
I
find him overwhelming whenever I hear him. I just every now and then I need a break because it's
just
too
your
much.
Brain shuts down.
Yeah,
you can't get on
genius.
With your day. Brilliant. Yeah. All right, Michael, where are you?
I am going for the hero,
of course,
and I'm going for the that very reason because of Freddy. Freddy is phenomenal in this. He's belting that song out like it's an argument he's determined to win.
It's true.
And that's something I can really relate to. So,
and also, given you're having to spend so much of your life justifying your love for this album, that is the track you can pull out and go, because of this, so shut up.
Yeah. And it's a great example of the band playing together. It's brilliant. But Freddie really is. I mean, imagine being in a band with Brian May playing guitar that well and still bettering it.
Yeah, he is.
He's just knocking it out of the park.
Yeah. As only Freddie Mercury can, actually. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Adele's got nothing on Freddie Mercury. Go on then, producer Sam. Let's let you have an opinion.
I'm going to go with Simon, actually, and battle theme it.
Battle theme.
It's got the really cool guitar riff from The Hero and the really cool guitar riff from Volton's theme, right?
Yeah.
It's got those.
It's got all of the bits.
It's got all of the fun bits. That
it's got the
about.
Flash bit, it's got the Hero bit, and it's got the Okay, fair play. And interestingly, I am going for Volton's theme, which does mean that, controversially, battle theme is what's making it into the playlist.
Okay.
Which is madness, because really, if we were going to put that tune in, we should put in The Hero. But there we are. That's what's going in. But, you know, Michael's right. But the reason I'm going for Volton's theme, I think, is for the same reason, which is because of Freddie Mercury. And just how... I just distinctly remember just thinking Freddie is the coolest person on this album for me. Which isn't necessarily how the way I felt on every album, but on this album, I was like, no, Freddie is nailing it with Football Fight and Volton's theme. They go hand in hand for me. I cannot hear them without goosebumps going off. I love it. So let me ask you this, Simon. What is your one favourite track off the whole album? You don't have to say the same track as what you've said for, you know, Simon.
Yeah.
Just for you personally, out of all of the tracks on this album, what's your favourite one?
Yeah, it'd be The Hero, without a doubt. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Nice, nice. Yeah. You doing the same there, Michael?
No, I'm going to be controversial. I'm going to go for Flash, not Flash's theme. Flash, the single. Technically not on the album.
Oh.
But, you know, it's definitely an extra track on the
Great Sits.
Posh CDs that came out X amount of years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's on the Great Sits. It is a great trailer for a movie, and it is a great trailer for this album.
Let me ask you this then. The single version has all of the movie quotes in different places in the track compared to the album. Do you prefer the single version?
I might do, but I mean, I don't know. I'd have to listen to them both, and then I'd have to have a week's holiday, and then I need to write up a pros and cons list,
and
then I definitely need some lunch. Then I'd have an answer.
Okay.
I hope that helped.
Yeah, it did. It did. I understand. You need to do some data gathering to make that judgment.
Sure.
Sam, go on, if you must. Why are you taking so long?
The Hero.
Fine, thank you. I'm going to stick with Football Fight, thanks.
Fair enough.
It's just so good. Yeah. And I still love it. I love it so much. And because of that track, I learnt how to read and play music, my God.
Ah,
what a treat. Thank you, Freddie, for that.
Now, there is one last tradition I would like us to honour on this podcast is for the benefit of those people who didn't get the fancy CD versions of the albums. We love a Hollywood remix.
Oh, no.
Yes, we
no.
do.
I didn't know there was one.
Yeah, yeah. So were quite a few for Flash, more than any other I'd seen. So yeah, have a listen to this bad boy. It's called the Mr. Lounge Mix Remix. I believe.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You haven't picked it for its musical qualities.
No, absolutely not.
Gangster, I'm bored. What can we possibly sample today?
Oh.
How about the old Flash Gordon wicket by Queen? I heard it was quite popular on this planet Earth.
Oh, Mr. Lounge.
Better.
I don't mind it. Oh, they've got that wrong though. That's a mistake. Oh, they're doing it on purpose. It's really annoying. What? No! Can't count. That's four times now. Michael's got his head in his hands.
That's, it just does that for about 7 minutes. Just... of that.
That was just appalling in every single way.
That was so cringe the way he does the talking.
I don't know how you make it more dated than it is. Like when the drums kick in at the beginning, or what felt like about 5 minutes into it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God, these are like samplers' first drums. It's, oh God, it was awful. Never do that again.
He's been doing this to us for years now.
You've really outdone yourself on that one.
I mean,
say that every time, but
yeah, I thought gotta have that.
How far out do you plan these horrible remix drops? Like, do you know exactly which one you're going to use already?
Well, you find some great stuff. Like Michael referred to it in the last episode, there is a fantastic demo version of Football Fight where Freddie's playing it on the piano, mm-hmm. and it sounds amazing. And those are real treats. They're lovely things to hear. And there's also another one which you can get, which is The Kiss, which he plays on piano first, and you hear his amazing vocal over the top of it. Then I come across a Hollywood remix and I go, oh.
The glee, though. The glee that he sits on it, Michael. Yeah. He doesn't tell us it's coming.
Listen,
he never warns
listen,
us.
Listen, unfortunately, I will have heard that before.
You will have done.
But it's wiped from my memory.
Because when
I was on holiday in America, I bought all of the Hollywood Records re-releases because they were all really cheap. And I went, oh, I've got more. And look, they've got extra tracks. Hooray! There's not a single moment where happiness came anywhere near me.
No.
It was just like, oh my God, what have they done?
They've ruined your holiday is what they've done.
It is like they've taken something dear, killed it, buried it, and then dug it up again. It's just horrible.
I don't mind them.
Flash one time. flash two time.
Yeah, but then it's back to one time again, and they've at least got to six time by the time we've finished listening to your bit. I don't know how many time they do it.
There's no way Uncle Trousers or whatever he's called can count past two. Just no way.
It's his cringe talking at the beginning, Mr. Lounge. The Queen, your evil band Queen. No. You are not Max von Sydow by any stretch. You just aren't there. They got Sydow and Wingard. You're just a bloke in a lounge.
Yeah. Well, on that bombshell.
This has been so much fun.
It's been huge fun. Michael, thank you so much for joining us for this journey through Flash. And
no, thank you.
I'm now convinced that Flash is probably the best Queen album, even if it's just your favourite. I think it's now officially the best Queen album ever.
Terrific.
You know, you've started a movement.
I won't go that far, but it is my favourite album, Michael. It's now my favourite album.
Yeah. See, I was right. We could have done this in an email. Just you listen to it, come back to me. But no, we had to run this whole thing out until I was proven right.
Yeah,
for 2 weeks.
Exactly. But now everyone is with us. Great.
It's true.
Do come and join us again, won't you? Particularly when we get to a kind of moment.
That would be
amazing. Yeah.
If you need me to prove that I'm right again.
I'm not having you on any more 80s albums. Before this started, he was just reeling off tracks on 80s albums and asking me to justify them. And I kept justifying them. And he kept going, yeah, no, fair enough. Like, there is nothing wrong with Queen in the 80s out there, guys. You 70s people. Ugh, the 70s purists is like, what is the point? Why are you missing out on all the fun?
Did you ever see Queen live?
I have seen Queen live. The very first gig I ever went to was the Freddie Mercury tribute concert. However, I never saw Freddie live. Did you?
Right, are you ready for this? In 1980, I was on holiday in San Francisco. You know when you when you're a kid and you're sat with an older person who doesn't know you and they don't really know how to communicate with you because they're an older person, you're a child?
Yeah.
It just went, so you're wearing a T-shirt. You like T-shirts? Like, that's it. That was his conversation. And I went, yep, like T-shirts. He went, oh, I've got a box of T-shirts down in the garage. And I was just going to throw them out. They're sort of a kid's old T-shirt. So if you want to have a look. So I went downstairs into the garage and looked through this box of T-shirts. And I saw a T-shirt that said Queen. And it was an official Queen T-shirt.
Brilliant.
And it was, you know, it's the big old sort of like Queen the album logo.
Yeah, and I'm wearing it today.
Not as updated as A Day in the Races. I mean Queen 1. Right.
No. Oh, so, yeah.
I went, I'm definitely having this T-shirt, and I immediately took my T-shirt off, put the Queen one on. Went, I love Queen. I'm wearing it.
Yeah.
Went upstairs to where all my family were there. My parents went, you can't really wear that T-shirt. And I went, why? And I went, well, that's for girls. I'm like, what do you mean? Because it had a low neck, you know. Meaning you could see all of my chest. And I was like, well, what's wrong with that? Like, well, that's just sort of something women wear rather than little boys. And I'm like, I don't care because Freddie shows his chest off all the time. So
yeah.
I'm showing my chest
off.
Anyway, so I refused to take off this girl's T-shirt. I'm like, no, this is my T-shirt now. He said I can have it. So it's mine. And then my cousin, who is an American, came in, just went, oh, you like Queen? Yeah, I love Queen. You know they're playing in San Francisco tonight. So he drove me up to this hillside in his truck. And we watched Queen from... like, you could not pick them out. There was no way you could see anyone on the stage. You could saw there were people on stage, but you would never recognize them. But they were, you could hear them and you could see the lights. And there we were watching Queen from a hill. 1980.
Wow. That's an amazing story. So you have your eyes have that, had Freddie Mercury perform live in
I
front
guess
of you.
Yeah, technically yes, that is true. I have been within visual distance of Freddie Mercury, and I just have to assume it was him because it definitely sounded
and
like
did
him.
They sound amazing.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it was really a weird sound because we were so far away, but I mean, it was definitely Queen.
That's an amazing story.
Oh, we were so close to wrapping up, Simon. Can you imagine? Have you still... Oh, I wish you still had that T-shirt.
I know. Do you know what it is?
Somewhere.
No, I don't. No, it's long dust, I think.
A true Queen fan, Michael Legg.
Yes, thank you very much. We'll see you again for sure.
Oh, thank you. Thank you all very much. Play the game, play the game, play the
game. Okay, it's time to play a game. I'm hoping Sam's got one for us.
I do.
Excellent.
We've got a very fun game today.
What a relief.
From one Thomas Shields.
Hey, Thomas Shields.
A.K.A. Tom from New York.
Oh, that's sexier.
Yeah, that's how he signed off.
Tom from New York.
Tom from New York's question is, how many Queen songs can you guys list where they give someone's name in the lyrics, real person or fictional?
Oh, sorry?
How many Queen songs can you list where they give someone's name in the lyrics? So where a person, either real or fictional, where their name would turn up in the lyrics of a Queen song. Felt quite apt if we're doing Flash Gordon. You know, it's an album named after a fictional character.
Yeah.
Tom has given a list. I've researched and found some others. It's very likely to be not exhaustive. I'm sure there's more.
Exhaustive.
See, he doesn't like to speak, but when he does, he uses big words, doesn't he?
Incorrectly. I'm sure there's more than what I've got. Yeah. You guys will probably think of some. We are limiting it to exclude most songs from Flash that have quotes from the movie, for example.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, what can you guys think of?
Well, there are. I mean, either we've put the Invisible Man on this list.
Yes, we do have the Invisible Man. That is number one on the list that Tom sent
names
me.
Names all four bands.
Well, I mean, there's Delilah.
Oh, yeah.
That's missed on the list. There we go.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
Straight away.
Spread Your Wings. You know, Sammy was low.
Peaches.
Peaches. Well, I mean, Bicycle Race, obviously.
Obviously, Bicycle Race.
Yeah. Is Jesus on the list?
Jesus is on the list.
Of course he is, yes.
Real or fictional, he's on the list.
Yeah.
Bicycle Race. Oh, yeah, there's loads of people in Bicycle Race. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
There's probably a couple in Don't Stop Me Now, isn't there? No, maybe not.
Well, unless, you know, they call me Mr. Fahrenheit is a fictional character.
Mr. Fahrenheit?
If you include Mr. Fahrenheit, I'd allow that.
Yeah, I think so. That's a good one. He's a fictional character that Freddie created.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay. Now it's just a memory test.
It is, isn't it?
Okay, let's think of whether we could... There's the dragons. That get on your back. That's not a named character.
A name. Dragon attack's gonna count.
It's not a name.
It's just you trying
to get
dragon.
What about
Leroy
Brown? Is he on there?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Leroy Brown. Absolutely. Yes.
That's a good one.
Hang on, let's think. We've got a juicy one, obviously, because there's Khashoggi in the mix.
Yeah, Khashoggi. Yeah.
But what we want is a little, you know, a little deep cut one that no one's really thought of. But then you got one straight away with Delilah hiding in plain sight.
It was hiding.
There's some very surprising ones on it.
Give us someone. Let's hear some that might set us off.
One that surprised me: Stone Cold Crazy is on there.
What is the one in Stone Cold Crazy?
It's the one I didn't remember. Oh, Al Capone.
Of course.
My God.
Tommy Gunn.
That's so cool.
Al Capone, that's a good one.
If you include the names of the fairies and the fairy fellas masterstroke.
Of course. Tatum and Lydion.
Yeah.
All those.
Mm-hmm.
There's Fat Bottom Girls, obviously.
Just the Fat Bottom Girls themselves?
The Great Big Fanny. Is that her name?
Oh, yeah.
She was such a naughty nanny.
Yes.
Her name. Yes. Good one. Oh, this is fun.
Is she? Yeah, this is... But why am I failing?
It is tough.
Well, Brighton Rock.
Well done, Brighton.
Very good.
Yeah.
Jimmy and Jenny. Happy little day, Jimmy went away.
There's little Jenny and I won't. I don't think there's anyone in You and I. I don't think there's... I'm just trying to go kind of by album. All right, so just thinking about Queen 1.
There is one I've got on Queen 1 that you haven't said
mentioned.
Yet.
So not Jesus.
No.
Oh, Great King Rat.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was a bratty old soul or whatever wasn't he? It's the King Cole riff. Okay, Queen 2, Ogres, do they count? There's probably some people mentioned in the Ogre Battle.
There might be.
The Black Queen, the White Queen.
Yep.
Yep.
I don't know if the White Queen's actually mentioned. Oh, yeah, she is, yeah. White
trying to think of famous people, because Life is Real was written about John Lennon, but I don't think John Lennon's mentioned it, is
no,
it?
No, I thought that.
Okay, what about, do you guys know what song Fred Astaire was mentioned in? There is a Fred Astaire name drop in one Queen song.
Oh, there is, isn't there? Oh, God, I can hear
now
it.
Now I've got the James song stuck in my head, just like Fred Astaire. It's doing my head in. Fred Astaire.
John and Suze would get these in a heartbeat, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but John will be Googling like mad to do it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He would be cheating. You're right. Millionaires, what? No.
The Ogre Men. That's right. I've got the Ogre Men. Okay. I've Googled like mad. Which song did you think Fred Astaire was in?
I went Millionaire's Waltz, but it's not
that one. It does begin with an M.
Oh, my God.
Did you that?
Queen songs that begin with an M.
I tell you what does have a lot of names is The Miracle.
Salvador Dali. Yeah.
That's got.
Has that got Fred Astaire in it? Is that
no, that's not the right one, but I was just jumping ahead.
Oh, my God. The Miracle's gone nuts, mate. You've got Captain Cook, Cain and Abel, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
That famous bloke, the Tower of Babel. There's loads of them. There's loads of them.
He played basketball, didn't he?
God, how good at basketball with the Tower of Babel.
Go on, where's Fred Astaire? Put me out of my misery.
Man on the Prowl.
Man on the Prowl. Well, I keep dreaming about my baby, but it ain't gonna get nowhere. But I am not Fred Astaire, so baby, look out, I'm a little hard. Oh, well, that is a great game. That, again, is another one that I am going to be...
I'll run through some ones we haven't mentioned quickly. Yeah. Another one, Bites the Dust, obviously. We've got Steve.
Walks Rarely Down the Street.
Steve! How did I miss Steve?
How did I forget Steve?
Life is Real is on this list. Song for Lennon. Music will be my mistress. Loving like a whore. Lennon is a genius. Living in every... Now I'm here, we've done Bo Rap.
Obviously. Oh, of course. Beelzebub gets mentioned. And Galileo.
Oh, yeah.
Killer Queen. Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course.
Good Company. There's a Sally.
Yes.
Good Company. Oh. Play all day with Sally J, the
girl from number four. It's loads of them.
Seaside Rendezvous. Quite a deep cut. There's a Clementine, Anna Valentino.
Of course. Meanwhile, my Clementine. You say you'd have to tell your dad if you can. Be your Valentino. Ride upon an omnibus and then the casino. Oh, it feels like when you get told what the answer to a riddle is.
Yeah.
And I think this last one might upset you guys.
Hang on. Which album is it from?
Oh my God, The Game.
Okay. Oh no.
It is a very famous one that is easy to forget.
The Game.
I'm not Googling it. Can you hear that? I'm not Googling it.
No, I'm checking. I've got my album.
Yes. Yeah, that would be.
I'm sure I do. Yeah, I do. It's one of their greatest hits. It is a big song.
Is it in Save Me?
Not the one I'm thinking of. I don't think
it's in
Play
the
Game. Save Me.
So it won't be in those two. It's got to be Oh, Crazy Little Thing Called Love.
Yes. Can you remember the name that turns up in Crazy?
Freddy Freddy.
There you
oh,
go.
Oh, my days.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh.
That was the last one I wrote down on my list. It took me that long to find that one out.
Yeah.
Simon genuinely looks post-coital right now.
No, I'm in pain. Because that is so...
That is my point.
Oh. Well, ending the podcast as we started it. Thank you so much for listening.
Well done, Tom York. That's
a great game.
We're going to be playing.
There you are. That's our challenge to you guys. Go out there and play that game with your friends. Yeah, that will.
Yeah. See if you can beat these two guys.
Yeah, which is pretty pathetic. But an evening will pass by in no time if you indulge in that one. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ro.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And we'll be back next time. See you soon.
Can't wait.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been The Queen Pod, a Seven Seas Films production, edited and produced by me, Sam Easton. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and stay in touch by emailing queenpod@thequeenpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.